another episode of Geeking the Real. It's that show where we're going to talk about geeky stuff from last week and pop culture and all that jazz. As always, I am your host, Man Plan. I have no plan. It's Dom, aka Brother Dom, on the internet. And once again, I am joined by the loveliest co-host of all time. You've heard her voice. Would you like to tell the people who you are?
Hey all, it is me again, Stephanie, aka Captain Steph on Twitter, aka the Snow Queer on Tumblr, and we are going to talk about some geeky stuff. Yes, do you want me to jump into it, or?
It's going to get real geeky. I mean, you doing good today?
I'm doing pretty good. I've been fed, I've been napped.
That's, you're like the world's most grown baby. The world's You're the second most grown baby in the United States. The third, maybe. You're the third.
Oh,
adult
man.
Adult baby.
I'm going to go ahead and not be insulted that I'm not first on this list.
Well, you're the best one, but you're just not the most baby of all of them. Because, I mean, we have Boss Baby, and that's just so ridiculous. It gets its own spot. And then our country's being led by a man baby, so, I mean, you have to give us some credit there that you are.
There's got to be some kind of weird double reach around thing going on with the fact that Alec Baldwin is both the Trump impersonator for SNL and also the voice of the Boss Baby.
Well, I don't know if we're going to go uphill from double reach around thingy, but
I'm sorry, it's not even supposed to be sexual. It's a Homestuck thing.
I knew you weren't going that way. But you had to make it a Homestuck thing, which is the only thing worse than sexual innuendo 2 minutes into a podcast. Bring back Homestuck. Make Homestuck great again. Remember back in the day when Trump was hilarious? That was great. I miss those days. Anyway, let's talk about good things. Jump right in for me, please. Help me. I'm stuck.
You're struggling. Let me come in there and rescue you from drowning there.
Thank you.
So, our first news item of the week is that Hasbro, the toy company, is getting rid of their gender divisions in their toy divisions, I guess you would say. Like, so instead of being like boys action shows and girls action show figures, like instead of it would just be like pony figures and robot figures without making a gender designation on what kind of children like to play with those things, and that's sort of, they're going to be tracking their data that way instead of by gender.
That's interesting, and I think they kind of had to do that. We can talk about the social ramifications of that, but I kind of for one minute want to think about the analytics of this. I think they kind of had to. I think bronies wrecked the scale and they're like, we don't know which of our horribly, for no reason, gendered divisions are doing well because all these grown men are buying the girls' toys and the Transformers toys are selling at regular pace, but it seems like more girls are watching our Transformers movies. So where's the money going? You know what? This metric is bad. Now, you remember the bronies? Those sons of guns really loved horses.
They sure loved horses.
For the listeners, I don't know who it was. I wish I could credit them. This is really great fan art of McCree talking about bronies, and that's brought me joy for a solid week now.
Wait, I got the link still.
Oh,
I meant to put it in my Tumblr queue, and I will. And I never did, but I had saved the link to do so. Fuckboy Aham at Tumblr was the one
that's
we reblogged
it
from.
Do you know who the original artist is?
I'm opening it up now. Calm down.
Awesome. I'm just excited about McCree and bronies.
Original poster is Tumblr user Mangleho, M-A-N-G-A-L-H-O.
Okay, so if you're listening or want to find that, please go give that person likes and reblogs, because that shit had me rolling for several days. But yeah, that's good. What kind of inspired Hasbro to do this, do you know? Like, in all honesty, instead of, like, my fake brony thing.
I think, to some extent, it was some outside pressure. Like, toy stores aren't, a lot of toy stores aren't doing, like, gendered aisles anymore, anything like that. Yeah, it says that they will no longer report revenue along boys, games, girls, and preschool categories, instead providing revenue breakdown of franchise brands, partner brands, gaming, and emerging brands.
Okay, so games is still, like, a thing.
Yeah.
They're like, we're not going to put it with gender, we're going to put it with logic.
Yeah, and I think it also says that revenue in their like quote unquote boys department grew by 4% last year, and the girls department grew by 50%. So they're finally making toys that girls want to buy and realizing that girls are interested in properties rather than like colors or types of play, I guess. Like girls are going like girls who like Star Wars are going to want Star Wars toys, not like Rey's space kitchen. If that makes sense.
that does that was very that was a witty thing. Ray's space kitchen, that was the perfect kind of tone deaf feminizing, like pink taxing of a Star Wars property. Like, that was
That's
very
exactly
on
what they would
point.
have made if they were like, yeah, girls want Rey toys, right? Like it's there's the meme of the like the CEO like what do kids like these days? Like and
They like
someone in the
Star Wars, right?
background like chimes in like Star Wars. They're like, okay, well, but they're girls.
Easy
Kitchens.
Bake Oven, right?
Yeah.
Ray's Easy Bake Oven. Oh man, that could have been a PR nightmare.
Can
Good
you
thing they didn't do
imagine?
that dumb shit. And there would have been the people that, like, obviously Kylo Ren would have been the one with the Easy Bake Oven. So not only is this sexist, it's wrong.
Paint it black and put some chrome on
Don't joke like people wouldn't have bought that.
Well,
Don't joke like I wouldn't have
look,
bought
people might have
that.
bought a Kylo Ren Easy Bake Oven, but they didn't buy any other Kylo Ren shit because we had so much just sitting there in my store when I worked retail because no one cared.
So I'm curious. We talked about this before. Did nobody care, or did they just overestimate how many people would care?
I think a little of both. I think a smaller number of people cared about him than they expected to him to people to, and also they over-merchandised, even for a
Okay.
character who would have been popular. There was too much Kylo Ren stuff.
I think, yeah, people mentioned it. Like, they messed up with it. If they were meaning to market him as, like, a badass rather than. For how junky he is as a character, he's not a bad character in the sense of, like, I think he moves plots well, because he's.
Yeah, like he's not badly written, he's just an unlikable person.
Yeah, on purpose.
Yeah.
Which is. So. But if you want, like, well, he's gonna be Darth Vader number two. It's like, we didn't see Darth Vader's face for like a pretty long time. Like, he was just a scary ass dude that sounded like Mufasa. Like, that was scary. And then you get Kylo Ren's like, oh, well, he just looks like Adam Driver. That's a lot less threatening.
Kind of
I don't know.
threatening, but less threatening.
So, Hasbro, good thing they're getting rid of their gender categories. Maybe they can make a good movie sooner or later.
Fingers crossed.
I think Hasbro just learned that girls can have bad taste just like boys. That's what I'm getting from this. So what's next? We got some more good news.
Yeah, I'm gonna kind of dominate this first section because it's full of things that I'm excited about. The next one is that Lumberjanes continues to be adapted for other things because Lumberjanes is awesome. They announced that it was being made into a movie a couple, maybe a year ago now, if not longer. Haven't heard anything about it since then, so that might just mean, like, we hired someone to write a spec script. Like,
It means they're trying to figure out a way to put Kate McKinnon in it, and they just need to find a role that she'd play well.
honestly, it's true. It's like, I mean, it's about as gay as any all-ages media I've ever read, so. On top of this movie news that is mysterious and has not moved forward in the news cycle for a year, there is new news about Lumberjanes being adapted into a children's novel series, like a middle grade novel series, from what I can tell.
Okay.
Would be like stories, not retellings of the original stories, from what I can tell, but like different adventures of the various girls at Lumberjanes camp, and.
Okay.
Illustrated by one of the original artists from the series, and written by Mariko Tamaki, who is a graphic novelist also. So,
Very nice.
more ladies doing lady stuff.
Good. We need more ladies doing lady stuff. And non-lady stuff, whatever y'all want to do, just don't, harm people.
Exactly. Whatever you call lady stuff, whatever
Yes.
lady stuff is for you.
That's a good point. I don't have anything. well, I don't know much about Lumberjanes. The art's totally up my alley. I don't resonate with the stories that much. It's one of those situations of this isn't built for me, and I recognize that, and I see that it's good, but I'm just not compelled to follow it because it's not resonating. But
that's fair.
Isn't it wild that you can see something like this isn't for me? That doesn't mean it's bad. It's
what an astonishing concept to be able to just say that.
Yeah, and it's not even like I dislike it. When I read the first issue, I guess, from like a Humble Bundle, I was like, this is super dope, and I should read the rest. But it was like, I don't feel like it. Like, I'd rather read like Squirrel Girl or like see the next Space Battle Lunchtime, which is just personal preference.
And you can always borrow it from me if we're ever in the same state. I have all of the issues.
Well, that'll help, Benny. That'll happen sometime. It'll happen in the eventually. Future.
Did you see? I don't know if you. This is not on our list of things to talk about, but I don't know if you saw. There's a new series coming out from, I think, Boom, that is basically like the fantasy version of Space Battle Lunchtime.
From Boom Comics, you say? Yeah. Do you know what it's called?
It's. No, you know what, if I hadn't put away my comics from last week already, I would be able to look at it right away, but they're all put away. It's got like a fantasy girl named Bravaria or something like that, but...
Okay, I'll have to look that up, because, I mean, that's... Brave Chef Brianna.
Is that...
Oh, snap. I don't know, that's just a title. Oh, yeah, it's... This looks totally my jam.
Yep,
going to have to
one.
Look this up. Oh, damn it, I thought I was
like,
free.
What's the sudden fascination on the market with magical cooking?
I don't care, like, I'm glad.
Not gonna complain, just a little confused.
This is, oh my god, Boom is like a problem. I'm looking at just their subscription page, listeners. So it starts with Adventure Time, like, hey bro, we know what you're about. Then Brave Chef Brianna. Then Cody and the Creepies. Looks like some punk rock chicks. Totally my ish. Then Deep, it looks like a black and Asian Fantastic Four. This whole front page is just like, hey bud, come on in. Lumberjanes is here, Goldie Vance, Power Rangers, Steven Universe, whatever. This is fantastic. Boom is my favorite imprint, probably. Are they called imprints when it's comics, Steph?
I think they're just a publisher. I think they're a step above. They would be an imprint if they had separate divisions.
Okay.
Within the publisher.
Well, damn. I love this publisher. The next two things are kind of pluggy, but following the theme of gender freeness and queerness, the Dates 2 anthology is coming out. We had the creator, our friend Zora, on the character reveal side of the podcast. Whew, quite a while back, we've been doing this.
Yeah, it was
in
July, I think.
That sounds impossible, but it must be true.
Because I wasn't in my apartment yet. I was still in Airbnb.
Oh my god. I will put the link to that episode when we talk to them. It was a great episode. They're awesome. But the anthology they do, it's Dates, which is, you know, kind of it's an anthology of like historical queer fiction. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, so the last volume, the original volume, was, I don't know what the theme word of it was. The one for the second one is progress, I believe. It had each of the stories had to show some kind of progress.
Yes.
But the goal of the comic is to have queer stories in historical settings that end happily. So
which shouldn't be the dearth that it is.
Yeah. So. I was actually at the release party of the original Dates. I went to, it was at Phantom of the Attic because that's where Zora works.
Yes, that's a great comic store. Also, they have a board games division across the street where I got my dice.
Nice.
But yeah. Yes, Dates, an anthology of queer historical fiction.
Yeah, so they're going to be kickstarting that coming up in a week or two, I think.
Yeah, if I counted the days right, it should be next Wednesday, but I may have counted the dates wrong. Ironically, my dates are not good, but their dates is good.
Their dates so, is great.
Aww. Check out the old one and check out the Kickstarter coming. We only plug things we believe in, and
yeah.
I believe in this.
For full disclosure, I did not back the last Kickstarter, but did buy the comic, and then I passed it on to some other queer friend who wanted it. But I highly recommend the original if there's a way to get your hands on it, and definitely check out this one when it comes out. I don't think there's any continuity between them. They're short story collections, so.
Nice. So check that stuff out. It's going to be well produced. We know the,
we know some people.
We know the collector. Great, great. And lastly, before we head off to the break, in the spirit of, I guess, justice, Humble Bundle, those people that you may love or hate or be completely ambivalent to, they are having the Humble Freedom Bundle right now. And for those who don't know what Humble Bundle does, they accept donations to a certain degree. So if you donate more than $1, usually you get like the first tier of games or music or books or audiobooks or comics. Like, they do a whole bunch of different stuff.
Yeah, they bundle a bunch of media for whatever the theme of the thing is, and then it's typically a pay what you want thing, but the more you pay, the more goes to the charity of your choice. And if you hit certain cutoffs, like, it typically it's like if you pay $15 opposed to whatever the average price is,
it normally is pay what you want for the first tier, beat a number for the second tier, and then beat the average for a different tier, which sometimes the average is more or less depending on the theme. And I think they started out with games, but they have branched into other things.
Yeah. I'm still working through my my Humble LGBT bundle from last summer.
I'm living like a true PC gamer with Steam. I don't go through all of it. I just pick what I want and just make my queues bigger. But this one 100% goes to charity. Normally you can donate to the publishers or to the developer or to the site to keep them going.
And you can pick the ratio of how much you donate to each one.
Yes. So this one is 100% towards charity. And this charities this time are the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, Doctors Without Borders, and the International Rescue Committee. So, you know, they write, you know, take a stand for freedom, the whole give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses. And they are talking, they say, we humbly remember that the United States is a nation of immigrants, and we proudly stand with developers, authors, and charities that champion liberty and justice for all. So, different charities have different hang-ups, so you can kind of split your money how you want to. You don't have to donate it to a cause you don't like. But wow, they came out with, this is like over $600 worth of games, and there's some true staples here of like the Humble Bundles, like Super Meat Boy is always in them, Super Hexagon is common, but they have stuff like The Witness, Stardew Valley, Octodad, they have some books, some audiobooks, Information Doesn't Want to Be Free, read by Will Wheaton, if you want to check that out. They have 2064, Read Only Memories, which I believe is a queer adventure game, Mini Metro that has no plot. There's just a lot of stuff here, so if you're any level of gamer, you want to get into gaming on your computer a little bit, or you like to read or listen to stuff, I would check this out, even if you just want to be selfish. But
yeah, plus it's, I think all the stuff you get through the Humble Bundle is typically DRM free, so you can gift it or send it, share it.
So for most of it, well, for some of it, you'll either need you'll either need Steam or something else, but most of it is DRM free, so you can just get it and have it on your computer, open it up, whether it's Windows, Apples, or Linux for most of it, so everybody as well. And then the audiobooks are just like MP3, so if you're listening to this, I would gather that you could listen to an audiobook. That's fair, right?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Cool. Yeah, we have plugged the things.
We sure have.
And time to plug a break? Does that make sense?
Let's plug an artist, a musical artist.
Yeah, go check out this artist and their stuff. It's gonna be great. We hope you like their style. And we'll be back after the break. It's got to be the night. Listeners, hope you like that music. It'll be in the show notes per the use. If you like the music we've been playing, give us a little shout, give us a rating or something, let us know we're doing a good job. If you don't like it, well, that's sucky because we're trying, but still let us know so we can get better.
Yeah.
And yes, let's get gay real quick. What's this next story?
Gayer than we already were. Well, yeah, this is probably the peak gay of this episode.
I'll take that as a challenge.
They have cast a voice for the new Magic School Bus series, Magic School Bus Rides Again, and in classic form, they have cast Kate McKinnon as the voice of Miss Frizzle. I'm very excited about it, because two of my favorite things are the Magic School Bus and Kate McKinnon. It's also a funny, intentional or not, a coincidence that the last voice of Miss Frizzle was also a lesbian, Lily Tomlin. So I think that kind of confirms that Miss Frizzle is also not straight, if anyone doubted that.
There was never a question. I mean, to be fair, I don't think anyone ever had to ask. It never came up, but...
We're just like, if you thought about it, you're like, oh, yeah.
Well, that's kind of a shame, though, for all the single ladies out there. Because it is Mrs. Frizzle, so there's another Mrs. Frizzle somewhere, right? No,
she's a Ms. Frizzle. She's an MS, period.
That's right.
Well, she could be taken, but it's ambiguous.
She's married to her work.
She is. She's married to the bus, really.
Wow. So, you know, maybe Miss Frizzle has a canon sexuality. That's fine. But I think she's willing. She probably would make one exception, I'd say, to who she's normally in love with. You know who that would be.
Who would that be?
Be the man that has all of our hearts. The freshest, cleanest man of all time. Mr. Clean himself. Mr. Clean. I'll find a way to mention Mr. Clean every day for the rest of this year if I can. don't tempt me.
Yeah, all right. Okay.
But yeah, they're making a new Magic School. I didn't even know they were making another Magic School Bus.
Yeah, they're making another Magic School Bus. It is going to be animated, I'm pretty sure. There was some speculation whether it was going to be live action or not, I think, briefly, but I think it's going to be computer animated, so it isn't going to be traditional animation like the original, but it is going to not be real people.
I guess that's good.
I'm excited about it, because like I said, Magic School Bus was a big part of my childhood. I had a lot of the books growing up. I thought they were really neat, because I'm a huge fucking nerd. the TV show, like, the episodes didn't, there aren't a lot of episodes that I remember very distinctly, but there are a few that left a definite mark on me, especially the one where,
where you're going.
Fuckboy Arnold took his helmet off on Pluto.
Why do you call him Fuckboy Arnold, though? He's just a kid.
He's an asshole.
Was he the
I mean, he was just like the regular kid, like, who was like, this is just like, this is all wrong and I hate it and I hate that this is weird, can't we just learn science? It's one of those things, like if you were in Captain America Civil War, if you were a person who lived in that universe, you would 100% side with Tony Stark, because of course you want all of these people with superpowers to have some sort of limit on them. But as a person watching the movie, you're like, but Steve, though, like, and I think the same kind of thing applies with Magic School Bus. Like, if you were an actual child or parent in the Magic School Bus universe, would you be excited that you or your child was, like, being shrunk down and thrown into a stomach or something, or, like, fighting giant bugs? Probably not. But if you were an actual kid...
because,
but as a kid watching that shit, you wished that your science teacher was as cool as Miss Frizzle.
Now, see, I have some questions about that, though. Like, if you were in a, like, in this world of the Magic School Bus, like, we're talking about the, you know, the MCBEU here, MSBEU, the Magic School Bus Extended Universe. is this technology common, or is this the only magic school bus? Like, is it in fact the magic school bus?
I think it is the magic school bus. I don't think that there are multiple magic school buses.
So let's ignore the fact that they're using magic to teach science. Let's ignore that. But as an adult in this universe, would you not trip the fuck out when you're like, yo, you can do what with this school bus? I think party's like, yo, my kid can go on the second field trip. Prove that this is real. So I'm looking at pictures of this, like the book. Arnold had blonde hair in the book.
Was he redhead in the show?
Yeah. He was redheaded AF. Like, these kids all look kind of goofy in the comic, or the storybook. Does the black kid still get to be there?
I think so, Keisha.
No, there's a boy. There's a little black boy. He just disappeared in the show. I don't remember him from the show. Oh, no.
I don't think he's in the show. Is he? Okay.
There's Ace. Like,
oh, I see. Yeah, I see. He's, like, in the back.
Yeah, like, in the one where they compare him to, like, the Captain Planet kids.
Oh, yeah.
I appreciate that Arnold wasn't, like, the one white kid to, like, make him seem like the norm. Because it was, like, yeah, Ralphie there's... or whatever. Well, Ralphie was a jackass.
Ralphie was a jackass. Yeah, then they had Dorothy Ann, who was the fucking nerd.
Which one was that?
She was the blonde girl with the pigtails. She was the know-it-all. And then Phoebe was the one who said, things are never like this at my old school.
Was she Asian?
No, she was the other white girl. And then there was the Asian...
There's two... I don't even see the other white girl. What the hell?
She has, like, brown hair. And then there was a Latino kid, girl, and a black boy. I remember the girl's name is Keisha. I don't remember the Asian girl's name.
I remember nobody...
Carlos was the Latino boy.
I remember Carlos. He was always cracking jokes. You know what? That's probably the way I am the way I am today. It's because of Carlos. Like, tell me I'm not.
I mean, you're very similar. Yeah, I can see that.
Yo, but for real though, Ralphie's just TJ Detweiler from Recess.
Yeah.
Same hat, same swag. He's Eddie from Ed and Eddie. Well, yeah, that's the Magic School Bus Minute. Gonna get real gay sometime later this year with Kate McKinnon and an illustrious voice cast, I'm assuming.
Yes, I would assume.
I wonder who's gonna voice Liz.
I don't know, because I don't think Liz talked, but at least that doesn't mean they can't cast someone to make the noises. Like, they had Alan Tudyk playing the chicken in Moana.
Have him do that. just have him play all the animal friends.
That works.
Like, hey, Alan, we need your skills again. It'll be fun, And remind me to link you this grown-up magic school bus.
Okay, is it just grown-up, or is it adult?
It's YouTube. It says fan-made parody. So it's probably vulgar, but not like XXX.
Okay.
It's not like the Magic School Booty or something. Also coming to Netflix this year. The Magic School Booty. If you want to go back to the 90s completely, maybe the early 80s or late 80s, Castlevania is getting an animated series on Netflix because people were clamoring for that and wanted it so bad.
So, I don't know anything about Castlevania. Please tell me. It sounds like it has Draculas in it.
Yes, it's vampires. And the guy who plays Alucard. It's Dracula spelled backwards.
I know, because I like Helsing.
I don't know shit about any of this shit. I didn't even play... I just know the song from Castlevania.
Well, I mean, the main character of Helsing's name is Alucard, but he's kind of secretly Dracula, too.
Yeah, that's in one of them. I don't know anything about this series, but I know this one is going to follow the Belmont family, I believe, from Castlevania 3. It's going to be 4 episodes that are half an hour each. So it sounds like they wanted to make a movie and just split into 4 episodes, which, seeing as Netflix doesn't get ad revenue, I don't know what the strategy behind that was. It's not like they're trying to, you know, listicle you into more money. That's just making you click a few times. But maybe it'll just be 4 separate plots.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah.
Maybe they have an idea. Maybe they have a purpose here, Dom. They have a strong theory of how the story needs to go that requires a 4-episode format. An artistic vision, if you will.
Hey, Steph. You play video games, right?
Occasionally.
Yeah, I don't have a very like gatekeepery version of what someone defines as a gamer. Like, pretty much as long as you consider yourself a gamer, you're a gamer, okay? And about how long would you have considered yourself a gamer in any capacity, any game, any game?
Probably since I was a teenager, but I'm gonna cut you off real fast and just make sure you know I was being sarcastic there, 'cause.
Well, I was playing into it, you know. I was just gonna
I
just admit that I've seen enough video game properties to know that I doubt there's an artistic vision. This is the same industry that says women shouldn't wear clothes so that they can breathe. This is the same industry that's like, let's put volleyball in our titty simulator. This is the same industry that said, hey, you know what would be a good idea for a system? It's only motion controls. What are you gonna launch it with? How about Wii Sports? And a Zelda game. What other games? That's it for 4 years. So I don't have a lot of faith in this industry. This is the industry that thought that Sonic the Hedgehog needed to kiss a human girl.
Wow. Well, I didn't know about that one.
You didn't know about that one?
I did not know about that one.
Oh, well, the disaster that is Sonic 2006 couldn't just be a technical disaster. It had to be a plot disaster. Because we should talk about that one day. That's good. That I have thoughts about that.
Okay. Next
Anyway,
time you corner someone on the podcast who knows things about Sonic.
it's not cornering if they accept the invitation. And lastly, something about Firefly.
Yeah, so it came out this week, the news that Fox was open to rebooting Firefly, but only if Joss Whedon would come back to do it. To which I resoundingly like offer a deep sigh and just kind of whisper no through my hand, like, no. I watched Firefly for the first time a while after it had already gained like its weird cult following that it has, mostly because I felt like I had to. Not even that I had to, but like it was a part of geek like sci-fi TV vocabulary that I did not have, that I wanted to know what like the references people were making were and stuff. So I watched it and I was like, oh, why are people still shitting their pants about this? Like, this is an all right TV show, but it's not, I'm not blown away. Like,
That's
and
unfortunate.
so I never really was into the hype to begin with, and the more I thought about Firefly, the more uncomfortable I became with the fact that it's so popular still, and the people continue to whine about it getting renewed or rebooted or whatever. Like to
What was
some
his problems?
extent.
'Cause I didn't follow it
Okay,
at all, and I never cared.
so it's a show about a guy who lost her, who was on the wrong side of a rebellion, lost to the lost to the larger force, who goes on to run like a kind of smuggling ship
Okay.
with a motley crew.
As
And
one does.
yeah, like as one does, and the adventures they get into, but it's very modeled on the Old West.
Oh, that's right. I can remember you all speaking about this vaguely.
Yeah, so it's unfortunate in a couple of ways. In those ways involve sexism and racism. Sexism comes to the fact that Mal, the main character, the who's played by Nathan Fillion, his love interest is a woman named Inara, who is a woman of color and a sex worker in a cut it like in a culture where sex work is very valued and very like companions are treated with ultimate respect and their services are very sought after, and it's very they're considered high class,
Okay, that doesn't sound horrible yet.
and yet Mal treats her like crap about it. Like, he's always giving her crap about her clients and like basically implying that she's a slut and being
Oh, yeah,
very,
terrific.
yeah, which is like, why do you want to be with her if you think that, first of all, and where did this attitude come from if you were born and raised in a culture that doesn't think that way?
Yeah, I hate when people do that. Like, they make this what they would consider like a rich world building, or at least like an idea, but then has a character that reacts with our sensibilities to it.
Yeah.
Which is like, oh great, like, you're slut shaming somebody. Not only is that wrong, that doesn't even like fit canonically in this society.
Yeah, so that bugs me. And then the other thing that really bugs me is that, well, first of all, to some extent, Mal's failed revolution is kind of allegorically the Confederacy. So
that's why he's a jackass.
So there's that. The Old West motif of the series is highlighted by the, like, quote-unquote Native American allegory, which are the Reavers, who are, like, cannibalistic, feral space travelers who exist outside the boundaries of, like, civilized space and who attack people. And if you're lucky, they will kill you, or they will kill you, rape you, and eat you in that order.
Jesus. Okay, that's great.
And then to top it all off, this civilization is presumably, like, there's Chinese characters everywhere. Like, some of the characters speak Chinese kind of casually. Like, it's like a common second language. The culture is based on the world building that Joss created for this series is a mishmash of Western and Eastern culture. Like, kind of like Chinese-inspired Western, like, country western kind of thing.
What the hell was he thinking about?
There are no Asians in the entire show.
That's
there's a little white girl who's like a ninja, kind of.
Yes, I've heard of her.
That's it.
Well, that was what, 2000s Joss Whedon? Maybe 2010s Joss Whedon is a little better. He just wants to throw somebody into, like, somebody's boobs every now and then. He's not a racist anymore.
Did you see Age of Ultron?
People don't really see Age of Ultron. They just kind of, like,
experience Age of Ultron.
That scene was so bad, like, ugh. Like, that took me back to when I was 14 and didn't quite understand the dynamics of gender and still would cringe at that kind of thing because it was always awful.
Yeah, like
no one thinks that's a good trope. What was he thinking?
But yeah, so that's the. For a long time, I have wanted to put a do you have an unpopular opinion about a popular fandom question in our rapid fire section, but mostly just because I wanted to go off on how much I dislike the fact that Firefly is so popular.
I mean, that's fair. And we all have unpopular there it all opinions. Is. Yeah. We all have unpopular opinions, Steph. Don't worry. No need to. I hope you don't feel bad about it. I don't think you do.
I don't particularly, but that's why I am not particularly excited about the idea that they did reboot Firefly, or that Joss Whedon comes back to helm it, because looking back, well, it aged worse than Kellyanne Conway in the last 6 months. Like.
Holy shit. There it is. Wow. You did it. You did it. Look, I'm just saying, all that hatred and lack of lotion will age you quickly. So, I don't know what's going on, man. It's wild. You notice Jerry Springer and Maury don't look as old as they are because they aren't full of hatred. They're full of buffoonery, but not hatred. Which is why Morgan Freeman has looked the same age for 80 years. Granted, he's looked 80 since he was born, but he's not aged a day. Well, besides Joss Whedon, hopefully he would be, like, you know, at least would have the same creative, like, that oomph that made the series popular before, but could have someone call out his nonsense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He seems like he has a knack for, like, making something compelling, but someone needs to be like, okay, but don't do that part.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I think so. I mean, like, and the thing is, it's not that he doesn't have I don't want to say good ideas in terms, like, he has interesting ideas in terms of plots and scenarios, and he thinks of himself as a progressive writer. You know, like, he thinks that he's creating these like, he was the guy who made strong female characters for a long time.
Oh, he's Buffy Man, right?
Yeah, but if you look back at them, all the strong female characters are, like, waifish, barefoot women with bladed weapons. Like,
I guess we needed to start somewhere. Like, that's the white dude mansplaining version of, like, a strong woman, which isn't the end-all be-all, and it's probably not even that great, but it's way better than what straight white mansplaining dudes were doing.
Better than a Transformers movie, you know? Like,
yes, I mean, okay, I also too can walk over a bar that's on the ground, but like, I don't know. I have no clue what's going on. Apparently Scarlett Johansson keeps talking about things, and this is not a women shouldn't talk. This is just a, hey, women should talk more. It's just not Scarlett Johansson, because she keeps saying shit that's making people not like her. up there with every white dude in Hollywood. But, well, actually not Chris Evans. Chris Evans is deciding to be Captain America IRL.
Yeah, Chris Evans is a real hero.
He went from laughing about sexist jokes at Jeremy Renner to being like, nah, that's enough of that. Time to be Captain America.
Yeah.
But,
And to get into real battles with the real KKK members on Twitter.
Like, this doesn't make any sense. Why does it... Chris Evans could run for president in 4 years and it wouldn't be, like, ridiculous at this point.
I'd vote for him. Except he's a Pats fan.
We all have flaws. John Oliver suggested RuPaul be the Democratic celebrity person to run up against Trump in 2020. And you know what? At this point, fuck it. Why not? Let's run RuPaul up. But I lost my train of thought.
You were going to say about Scarlett Johansson opening her dumb mouth.
Yeah. I saw it on Twitter. Someone said she wanted to be like... She keeps saying stuff about Ghost in the Shell, which is why people keep being like, Scarlett, please, like... If you just wanted the money, that's one thing, but you don't have to justify, like, just don't justify it.
Yeah, she's justifying be bad. In terms of feminism, and,
it's like no, please like, don't.
There are women who are not white who could have played this role very well, like, leading, you don't have to lead every female-led movie in Hollywood.
You barely lead the ones you're in. but she also was mentioning, like, Marvel talking about, like, a solo Black Widow film.
Still.
And... anyone who has, like, I don't know, anyone who's heard this show in any capacity or heard me talk on those, that I'm not a huge fan of Black Widow as a character. Like, she's cool, but I think every other female character that's been in the Marvel Universe so far, you know, the other five, I'd rather see... There will be. I was like, I'd rather see... Let's talk about all the characters I'd rather see. And this is coming from a cis guy, so whatever, but just from... I guess for the target demo, I'd rather see Ms. Marvel, or Captain Marvel, or Squirrel Girl, or Scarlet Witch, or Gamora, or Nebula, or Helix, or even Pepper Potts just doing her laundry one day, like, not even in a sexy way, like, damn, I'd really need to wash these jeans. I'd watch, like, Slice of Life Pepper Potts before I'd get hype over a Black Widow movie. And that's just me. That's
rough.
What's that? That's like six women right there. Black Widow's as compelling as Hawkeye, which is to say, cool, you have a little weapon. Congratulations. Hot ass take, check me out.
Well, we just both had our hot ass takes, and I think it's time maybe to play some music.
Yeah, because last time I put a hot take on Twitter, someone blocked me, so it wasn't even offensive. It wasn't rude, it just was a shitty opinion. but yes, let's go into some music. Before I perjure myself again. We'll see y'all soon.
Not a quadrant. What's the equivalent of a quadrant, a third, I guess. Yep.
Third. A third, a triad?
Triad. Is it, does no, triad, triad work would here? Be three things. It wouldn't be three parts of one thing. So a third.
It's there's a brain the triad there, of listeners. Sections. You guys heard the brain gas. That's what it is.
Yep.
Amazing.
Magical. All right. So what did you get anything this week, Dom?
Kind of. Don't we get something every week? We all get treated to the lovely world. No, I got a nice little silicon bracelet. One of those, like, cause bracelets, I guess you could say. Is that what these would be? It's just, like, the Bi Pride one. So it's just a silicon band that's, like, reddish pink to blue to purple. I got it at an event. So I was visiting the GF, and nice. We went to a thingy. Yeah, it was super dope until I got sick. But I got sick on the way home, so whatever. But yeah, it was like an event for like LGBT awareness or something, and I wanted to be aware of the B part.
Nice.
So now I got a bracelet. I hide it under my sleeves at work because I don't feel like having that conversation in Southwest PA.
Nice.
Because chances are, shit won't go super dope. Like, no, dude, I just really like Sonic and Knuckles. Oh. No, this is a Steven Universe bracelet. Ain't that some shit?
I mean, it wouldn't be wrong.
Let's take the red gem and the blue gem and make a purple gem. Subtlety.
Subtle.
Did you get anything this week, Kat, this week?
Well, speaking of crystal gems, I did get the new Steven Universe comic.
How was it?
Got a review of it up on Lady Geek Girl, if anyone wants to check that out. It was cute. But it also reminded me of the reason that I don't usually pick up, like, the ongoing issues of cartoon comic books, like the Adventure Time series. Like, I'll read the, like, Marceline the Scream Queens miniseries, or, like, Marceline Gone Adrift, or, like, those, like, collections of six issues or so that are actually telling us, like, a story with an arc. But the actual ones that are like the title of the show is the title of the comic tend to be more like kind of like one shots that don't advance much and don't really get into the backstory of anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is unfortunately the case with this one. It was very cute. It was very well characterized. Like, I enjoyed reading it, but it's not something that I'm going to be spending $4 on a week. But as we said earlier, it was mostly because, even though it was cute, it was not for me. I was not the target audience of it. The target audience of it is children. Just as okay. The target audience of Steven Universe, the television show, is children.
I feel like that's debatable at this point.
And I'm not going to throw a tantrum about there not being backstory, like, meaty backstory of characters in the comic book, especially because I'd be pissed if there was meaty backstory of comic characters in a comic book and not in the show itself.
Yeah, that'd be annoying.
So.
I kind of like the way that Rick and Morty does it, because Rick and Morty's also doing the thing where it seems like the target audience might not be the same as the show.
Uh-huh.
Because I think the problem is there's a lot of crossover appeal, right? Between Rick and Morty and Steven Universe and Gravity Falls.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know how you restrict this, but I feel like being on Adult Swim kind of segregates Rick and Morty to, like, at least a certain time of day, whereas the comic book store does not. But it's not explicit, so it doesn't need, like, bagged or anything. Like, you can just go to the store, like, you can just go to Barnes & Noble or something and buy the trade of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little toned down and a little bit outside, like, it seems to be within the canon, but, like, outside of the pace. Like, there's things that happened at the end of season 2 that haven't happened in the comic, or the comic is past. I don't know when it happened, but what it does is every episode, or every, it seems like every 4 issues, or every 3 issues, is a self-contained story. So, like, it would take 3 months for a story to pass, and you get, like, a filler comic. So I just buy the trades, and it tells the whole story, and that seems to be a nice balance of shortness of arcs.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Any other comics you get this week?
Just
or
like
last week?
The regular. I mean, I get my comics every week, but just like the regular kind of squad: the Wonder Woman's and the Miss Marvels and Squirrel Girl.
Squirrel Girl.
see.
Good stuff, good stuff.
Good stuff, yeah. That's a Motor Crush. It's a new, like, indie comic that I'm reading.
How is it? Interesting. Like, what's it about?
It's, I think we talked about it a little bit when we talked to Lila. It's a, like a motorcycle racing comic with, like a queer black lady lead. It came up because we were talking, she has a girlfriend, like a curvy girlfriend who's white with pink hair, and I just thought...
Oh, yes, the trope.
I was like, is this a weird trope that's going to happen?
It totally
is. Like, the femmy white girl and the butch black lady.
And it always seems to be, like chubby femmy. Never, like... That's interesting. So, what that means is... Wait, what does that mean? I know what that means.
But anyway, the comic book is still enjoyable, so...
Okay. I think that means Farmercy confirmed canon. just saying. Well, that does sound like a nice little book. Sounds like Road Rash, but progressive. Which is something everyone's been asking for years.
So, yeah.
That's what everybody's wanted. You just don't know about it. And other than the stuff we got this week, we got to experience the Grammys in one way or another.
Yeah, I watched the second half of them. I was out retrieving takeaway food for the first half of them. So I actually have not yet watched Beyoncé's performance. I have a link to a video of it, but I haven't watched it yet.
Cool. I haven't watched any of it. I just heard about it, and I'm looking at the winners.
Yeah, Adele won a lot.
Surprising nobody.
Surprising no one. I learned that Album of the Year and Record of the Year are different things.
Yes.
Single, dear listeners.
So I knew that. The one thing that confuses me, so I know album is like an album, but and record is like a recording, like it's not an LP or an EP. My confusion is between record and song of the year. Now, is record like a single and then song is like the writers get credit for it?
I think record is a single and maybe song doesn't have to have been released as a single.
Okay. Because I'm looking at the way it went. So, like, Adele won for Hello with Record of the Year, but Song of the Year was Hello by Adele Atkins and Greg Kurstin, the songwriters. So it seems like all these nominees have the songwriters, like, listed.
Yeah, I think that... That might be it, too. I don't know. I just learned the difference last night, so...
But, yeah. So, either way, I'm looking at, like, Adele winning Song of the Year for Hello. And, like, yo, was that the best written song on this list? Maybe. I don't know. People who know me know I wasn't a real big fan of Formation, like, content-wise. I didn't think it was, like, that dope of a song in and of itself. Like, if I had read Formation on paper, I wouldn't have been blown away. But, like, the video and, like, the totality of it, I'm like, this... Like, when I was watching, I was getting super hype, and I loved Formation from the minute I saw it. I just didn't think it was, like... Wait, no, hold on. I'm not thinking of Formation. I liked Formation the whole time. I was thinking of, like, 7-Eleven. I didn't like that at all. yo, but Beyonce got robbed for real, for real.
She did get robbed.
Like, how the hell do you... Like, dear listeners, I love Adele. I bought 25, I loved it, and it was great, and I jammed it real hard for about 2.5 weeks, and then I still have it, like, on my iPod. But, like, is anybody still, like, putting Adele songs into, like, purposeful rotation, like, on their MP3 player? Like, I don't think it was better than Lemonade, and I was only, like, slightly a fan of Lemonade, because, again, not for me, but still saw the value of it. I don't know, do you have any thoughts on that? An album of the year? Because it's good that she beat Bieber and Drake.
God, yeah. That was the only thing that when they came out and they announced the other three who were nominated, I was like, well, if it's not Adele or Beyonce, something got stolen. Something's mixed up here. Really do live in the worst possible timeline.
Like, Justin Bieber deserved it over Drake, just because Views was eh. And Purpose was actually Bieber's best work so far, so I'll give him credit that it was like, I don't know if Adele and Beyonce peaked. Yeah, I don't know if Adele and Beyonce peaked here because I'm not that intimate with their work. I'm not saying that Purpose is better than either of those, but I'm saying on an artist level, he is at his peak so far. Those two artists may have. I don't know.
Yeah, but I knew that it was going to be one of those two. I was surprised it wasn't Beyonce, but...
But were you not that surprised
not
also?
Not that surprised.
Yeah, that's...
Because racism continues to exist. I was glad that even Adele seemed to feel like she...
She I heard her speech this morning, and she did a really cool thing. Like, she mentioned, like, that Lemonade made her black friends feel empowered.
Yeah.
And then... Apparently some people were, like, saying she pulled the Some of My Friends Are Black card, and people were like, I'm gonna just call Mulligan on that. Like, that's not what that was.
Yeah, she was saying that this music was specifically meaningful to other black women.
Yeah, that's pretty much the exact opposite of saying, I have black friends. That's saying, the black friends that I do have told me things, and I'm taking their word to mean something, and it's not, like, as a gotcha... To say, well, I have a black friend that lets me say the N-word, so everyone else that doesn't is wrong. She was basically saying this made them feel better, and that must be a good thing. So,
yeah.
Oh well. The Grammys have no intrinsic value other than what we place on them. Unfortunately, that's a lot. Other highlights, Chance the Rapper got Best New Artist, which is good, because the Chainsmokers are awful, and I don't know these other people. And there's a lot
Chance
of pop
won a bunch
performances.
Of things. I think
he should have, man. Like, that dude's cool. He wears his three hat, but
the three hat makes me feel like he's like a Gravity Falls character, honestly. Like, it makes me feel like he's, like, not entirely a real person.
I need to look through his lyrics. I think he made some nerdy reference, but I don't want to say it because I might be wrong.
You can ask my brother. He knows all of his lyrics.
Your brother does like Chance
the Rapper.
My
brother loves Chance the Rapper.
I'll just look it up on genius.com later.
I think he makes a Harry Potter reference or something, because Christian was losing his mind about it.
That's good. 21 Pilots won a Grammy. They took their pants off, which was...
Relatable.
Did you see that part of it?
I saw the video later.
Yeah.
They said they had... The first time they watched the Grammys together, the two of them, they were all just, like, sitting in their living room with no pants on. And they said, if we ever go to the Grammys, we have to accept our award like this.
And that's kind of a cute story. At first, I thought they were just being like, oh, let's do
we're
something wild.
And weird, yeah.
But the one guy, like, didn't even... He just had them around his ankles, kind of as if he was like, I made this promise with no intention of having ever fulfilled this promise. Like, he just kind of stood in the back like, my parents are watching this.
The whole world is watching me with my pants around my ankles right now.
Tasteful boxer briefs, though.
I'll give
him that.
I mean, I guess if you know that there's the potential you might have to take your pants off, you wear your good underwear.
They didn't wear crappy underwear. I'll give them that. Also, the Chainsmokers won a Grammy with that song featuring Daya, Don't Let Me Down. That makes me think the Grammy... Like, I mean, I know the Grammy Council has no idea what they're talking about. But without hearing those other four songs, what the hell are they... That song is... Come on. Bowie cleaned up, RIP. Solange got some stuff. You guys can go look at this. It's... Oh, yes. Beyonce did get Best Urban Contemporary Album. Whatever that means. That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
It just means this is the black category.
That's what I was like. Are we really categorizing music as quote-unquote urban in the year of our Lord 2017? Like...
Because... Here's what's weird,
we
right?
Can't
the R&B
say colored
field.
Music, like, what?
That's all it is, because they have Best R&B Performance, Best Traditional R&B Performance, Best R&B Song, okay? Best Urban Contemporary Album, then Best R&B Album. So that just basically means black people music, and we have no idea where else to put this because we already have a rap category. What do you colored folk want, is what that says to me. I don't know. I guess they didn't want to put Beyonce in pop, but I guess she's already there. So this really doesn't... Yeah, whatever. No, she's not in the pop vocal album. That's okay. I got it. I figured it out. She was nominated for a rock Grammy. She didn't win. I don't think she should have, but I mean, it was nice that she was there.
Yeah.
Anything else? Yeah. Hotline Bling, best rap song. To whom, I ask you? To whom?
Really?
Yeah, the best rap song / sung performance was Hotline Bling. Not Beyonce featuring Kendrick Lamar. Not that song Broccoli. Not Famous by Kanye West, not Ultralight Beam by Kanye West, but Hotline Bling by Drake. You know, that well-written song that wasn't only great because it was a meme. Get out of here. Get out of here. Yeah, Best Rap Album, Chance the Rapper, some country stuff, don't care. And also, have you seen some of the categories that are in the Grammys? Like, there's some wild stuff in here. Like, there's a Best Historical Album, Best Surround Sound Album. Like, some of these sound like stuff you would make up on it on the bad part of an SNL skit that should have ended a couple seconds ago. And then Beyonce got Best Music Video for Formation. Take that, VMAs.
Okay.
But yeah, that's the Grammys, because this is a cultural affair that we're hosting for you all. And that's everything, right, Steph? I think we did it. We did another one.
Yeah, I think we're covered.
That's fantastic. We should give these people some social media business. I think I'm going to kick it out real quick.
Do it.
Woo! Okay, so say you like the sound of my voice or the sound of Steph's voice, and you're like, wow, I want to hear this even more, but in text form. You can follow us on Twitter. That's at Brother Dom for me, BROTHADOM. You can find Steph on Twitter at Captain Steph. You can find both of us on Tumblr. I'm still Brother Dom. She's the Snow Queer. It's like a gay Elsa, essentially. You can find this podcast on Twitter at Character Rev. That's two R's in the middle. Character REV. Or find us at characterreveal.simplecast.fm. That's where you can find the podcast itself. Find all the old episodes. Or you can subscribe to us on Google Play Podcasts, the iTunes Store, or Stitcher. Probably wherever you find your podcasting goodness, it'll probably work. We also write for the Lady Geek Girl and Friends blog, which is an intersectional feminist nerd stuff blog. That's ladygeekgirl.wordpress.com. And if you go there, like around nowish, you should see like our Valentine's Day post. We have two posts going up today. You want to give the people a little sneak preview of what those are?
Yeah. So every year we do a roundup of our 10 favorite canon and our 10 favorite fanon ships of the year. No repeats any year, so if you go back through the decades, we've got, I think this will be our 6th year doing it. Oof. So that means 60 of each. Yikes. Yes. And so we got a little bit of everything in there for the tasteful connoisseur of shipping, and then you can also, if you're not so shipping inclined, you can always check out our Trailer Tuesdays post. It's a special post for Valentine's Day that focuses entirely on movies that don't have any romance. Or at least not, don't focus on romance, because it's really hard to find movies that don't have any romance.
Yeah, so if you like our tastes, or maybe you want to see a little bit of things that are not just art tastes, we're not the only ones who write on this blog. So just in case you maybe weren't aware of the Lady Geek Girl and Friends thing, it's not just Stephanie and myself.
Neither of us are Lady Geek Girl.
Yeah, I don't know if we ever like made it clear that that you're not Lady Geek Girl. I don't know if we ever explicitly said that. But it's not Steph. It's a whole staff of people and some great writers, and there's some nice ships on there. We both contributed, and you'll notice some of them as ours right away, and some of them you might be a little bit shocked. Yes, that's the whole thing. That's it. You should go check it out and check our posts. We both have stuff coming up like every week, essentially, this month. So thanks for sticking around for another episode. We hope you like the content. Hope you like the music. Comments, subscriptions, ratings, they all help. They all count. So just keep sending us all that stuff. And thanks again. And until next time, see you later.
Bye.